Over here, sand blows. Over there, sand blows. Over there, a rich man waits. Over here, I wait.
The voice of Shai Hulud from The Oral History. Sister Chenoway's account, found among her papers after her death.
I obey both my tenets as a Bene Gesserit and the commands of the God Emperor by withholding these words from my report, while secreting them that they may be found when I am gone. For the Lord Leto said to me,
You will return to your superiors with my message, but these words keep secret for now. I will visit my rage upon your sisterhood if you fail.
As the Reverend Mother Syaxa warned me before I left,
You must do nothing which will bring down his wrath upon us.
While I ran beside the Lord Leto on that short peregrination of which I had spoken, I thought to ask him about his likeness to a Reverend Mother. I said, Lord, I know how it is that a Reverend Mother acquires the memories of her ancestors and of others. How was it with you?
It was a design of our genetic history and the working of the spice. My twin sister, Ganima, and I were awakened in the womb, aroused before birth into the presence of our ancestral memories.
Lord, my sisterhood calls that abomination.
And rightly so, the Lord Leto said. The ancestral numbers can be overwhelming, and who knows before the event which force will command such a horde, good or evil.
Lord, how did you overcome such a force?
I did not overcome it, the Lord Leto said, but the persistence of the Therionic model saved both Ghani and me. Do you know that model, Sister Chenoway?
We of the sisterhood are well coached in history, Lord.
Yes, but you do not think of this as I do, the Lord Leto said. I speak of a disease of government which was caught by the Greeks, who spread it to the Romans, who distributed it so far and wide that it never has completely died out.
Does my lord speak riddles?
No riddles. I hate this thing, but it saved us. Ghani and I formed powerful internal alliances with ancestors who followed the Therionic model. They helped us form a mingled identity within that long dormant mob.
I find this disturbing, Lord.
And well you should.
Why are you telling me this now, Lord? You have never answered one of us before in this manner, not that I know of.
Because you listen well, Sister Chenoway, because you will obey me, and because I will never see you again.
The Lord Leto spoke those strange words to me, and then he asked,
Why have you not inquired about what your sisterhood calls my insane tyranny?
Emboldened by his manner, I ventured to say, Lord, we know about some of your bloody executions. They trouble us. The Lord Leto then did a strange thing. He closed his eyes as we went, and he said,
Because I know you have been trained to record accurately whatever words you hear, I will speak to you now, Sister Chenoway, as though you were a page in one of my journals. Preserve these words well, for I do not want them lost.
I assure my sisterhood now that what follows, exactly as he spoke them, are the words uttered then by the Lord Leto.
To my certain knowledge, when I am no longer consciously present here among you, when I am here only as a fearsome creature of the desert, many people will look back upon me as a tyrant. Fair enough, I have been tyrannical. A tyrant, not fully human, not insane, merely a tyrant. But even ordinary tyrants have motives and feelings beyond those usually assigned them by facile historians, and they will think of me as a great tyrant. Thus, my feelings and motives are a legacy I would preserve, lest history distort them too much. History has a way of magnifying some characteristics while it discards others. People will try to understand me and to frame me in their words. They will seek truth. But the truth always carries the ambiguity of the words used to express it. You will not understand me. The harder you try, the more remote I will become, until finally I vanish into eternal myth, a living god at last. That's it, you see. I am not a leader, nor even a guide. A god. Remember that. I am quite different from leaders and guides. Gods need take no responsibility for anything except Genesis. Gods accept everything and thus accept nothing. Gods must be identifiable, yet remain anonymous. Gods do not need a spirit world. My spirits dwell within me, answerable to my slightest summons. I share with you, because it pleases me to do so, what I have learned about them and through them. They are my truth. Beware of the truth, gentle sister. Although much sought after, truth can be dangerous to the seeker. Myths and reassuring lies are much easier to find and believe. If you find a truth, even a temporary one, it can demand that you make painful changes. Conceal your truths within words. Natural ambiguity will protect you then. Words are much easier to absorb than are the sharp Delphic stabs of wordless portent. With words, you can cry out in the chorus, "Why didn't someone warn me?" But I did warn you. I warned you by example, not with words. There are inevitably more than enough words. You record them in your marvelous memory even now. And some day, my journals will be discovered. More words. I warn you that you read my words at your peril. The wordless movement of terrible events lies just below their surface. Be deaf. You do not need to hear, or hearing, you do not need to remember. How soothing it is to forget, and how dangerous. Words such as mine have long been recognized for their mysterious power. There is a secret knowledge here which can be used to rule the forgetful. My truths are the substance of myths and lies, which tyrants have always counted on to maneuver the masses for selfish design. You see, I share it all with you, even the greatest mystery of all time, the mystery by which I compose my life. I reveal it to you in words. The only past which endures lies wordlessly within you.
The God Emperor fell silent then. I dared to ask, are those all of the words that my lord wishes me to preserve?
Those are the words,
the God Emperor said, and I thought he sounded tired, discouraged. He had the sound of someone uttering a last testament. I recalled that he had said he would never see me again, and I was fearful, but I praised my teachers, because the fear did not emerge in my voice. Lord Leto, I said, these journals of which you speak, for whom are they written?
For posterity, after the span of millennia. I personalize those distant readers, Sister Chenoway. I think of them as distant cousins, filled with family curiosities. They are intent on unraveling the dramas which only I can recount. They want to make the personal connections to their own lives. They want the meanings, the truth.
But you warn us against truth, Lord, I said.
Indeed, all of history is a malleable instrument in my hands.